Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me for this February 3rd radio program. Satsang, as we like to call it, a heart-to-heart communion. It kind of is over the radio. Anyway, I'm very grateful you chose to be with me. And I want to thank my sponsors who make all this possible. Without their support, without their loving kindness, this radio program would not be touching your ears right now. And I hope that you will consider becoming a sponsor if you're enjoying these radio programs, as well as the TV programs. We have some oldies but goodies coming out of the vault. My series on Kahil Gibran, the prophet, living the life as we called it back in the day. And we worked really hard to make these programs possible about Gibran and his beautiful work and the things that he taught through, I don't think it's poetry. I think it's just more prose. And he was a brilliant and beautiful man. And I respect him with all my heart and soul. So anyway, yeah, you can go look at those on the website at aspire.org. That began last week, I believe, on the, what was that? I think that was the 26th or 27th, something like that. Or something, I don't know. Who knows? I do so much I don't remember, but go take a look. I think you'll enjoy it. And all of this is supported by your tax-deductible gifts. Your donations are the only thing that make radio possible. And if you're enjoying any or all of our programs, my offerings, I hope you will consider being a sponsor and helping us to sustain what we have. I'm not interested really in growing. I'm not. We live in a very odd world, and this world does not appreciate the kind of things, generally speaking, that would awaken a person. So we're in that Kali Yuga stage, that very difficult, hard, metal stage of humankind right now. But there are a few of you out there, and people I have not met, who write in and listen to the radio program, who really are interested. And I want you to know that your donations go to help those people very, very much. They're very grateful for what you offer. And hopefully one day some of them will be sponsors and help us keep what we have going. That's just my one wish. Let's take a look at it. We're going to talk about mystery today. Something that is inexplicable to the thinking processes, the reasoning processes of a human being. Now, that wouldn't take much, in my opinion. There are so many things about our minds and the way we think and how we think and the whole attribute of our pedestrian mentality, our mental acuity that is so low. You know how I measure our acuity as a culture, a society, I should really say. We have very little culture. It's by the television commercials that I see. And during football season, I would watch, TV commercials that you have to, you know, between the game. And, holy Toledo, it just reaffirmed why I don't watch conventional TV anymore. I mean, these are really terrible commercials. And we don't have Mad Men anymore. You know, the guys that would come up with something really great, very rarely do we. Anyway, less than none and nonetheless, here's where we are in our culture and our society. And we don't make much room for mystery. We don't understand it. Everything has to be repetition, and rude repetition. Have you ever been on the internet, you're reading an article, and all of a sudden a pop-up comes, and then another one interrupting you? It's rude. It's just rude. And they want to keep your attentions popping around everywhere. What do they expect me to do? I'm engrossed in maybe a very wonderful article that somebody wrote about whatever. It could be all about science or whatever. And all of a sudden, a pop-up will come and say, hey, come over here and buy this. Hey, come over there and buy that. It's really annoying. But that's our culture. That's our society now. And when you think in terms of people being interested in an authentic spiritual practice of meditation, of inner work, that is not going to happen. That just, you know, people aren't interested. They want the pop-ups, and they've been trained, and they've been coerced, and their minds have been infiltrated with all sorts of difficulty in concentrating, ADD, etc. So mystery is not something that most of us get involved in or intrigued by. We want to know what we can buy and what the gossip is. And I don't think there's anything else we're interested in except those two things. But that's my opinion. Okay, here's Jason from Colorado. Why is life so mysterious? It seems very strange. How come it's just not open and clear for all of us? You seem to understand it. Why, Jason? Jason, I don't understand it. I want to get that right out there. Now, there's Gregory does not understand any of this, okay? He's as clueless as you are, okay? He doesn't really comprehend why there is mystery in this world, why, you know, an avocado has such a big seed or pit in it. It should be smaller. We get more avocados that way, et cetera, et cetera. I'm joking. But you start to look at what's going on from the literal mindedness of old Gregory, like your literal mindedness, and this is what we have. We have mystery. We don't get it because here's the deal. My cognitive mind cannot understand or rationalize the infinite, the immortal. It is my mind, as a human mind, is not virtuous at all. It is assuming, it wants to consume and buy things and get things and take things literally and make enemies and make friends, and these are the good people, these are the bad people. My mind is just like your mind. So I don't want you to think that I have the corner on all of this, because I really don't. My experience doesn't come from books or anything like that. It comes from the direct experience of meditation and some 40 years more of meditation, of inner work, of dealing with people, dealing with students, their difficulties, their rejections, their lives. Some of them were very ugly. Most of them lied to me. It's very, very hard to deal with them. And you have to be in a posture, an inner posture, where you don't let all that bother you. So that's the answer to the Greg part. Now, you will ask, why is life so mysterious, so strange? It should be, as you say, kind of out there for all of us to understand. It is. It is. But if I use Greg, I'm going to use me, Jason. I'm not going to use you. If I use Greg and you use Jason to perceive life, to understand life, to make life sensible to our five senses, we're lost. We're doomed. We got nothing, because all we're thinking about and living from is our DNA and how it is interpreted through my genetics, my forefathers. So I have their point of view, their mental acuity. I'm not that bright. You're probably not that bright. And even if you were bright, you know, you still wouldn't get it, because it's beyond the mystery. It's beyond the ideals and ideas that a human being can think. It just is. Now, Jason, I have been around some people in my day who are extremely awakened. I have been, for whatever reason, and I don't look for them, but for whatever reason, I've had the privilege of being in the presence of some awakened people. And I can tell you that they live half in this world and half not. One foot is here on earth, the other foot's on the other shore. And they do not think like we do. In fact, they rarely think. They do think in ways that help us understand where they're coming from. They have to take that part of them that lives in the world but not of it and talk to us from that point of view. I cannot tell you how unnerving this is and how at first, when you're first introduced to someone like that, how insulting it can be. Because you really realize, at least I did, what a moron I am and how far away from the way I was when I first started. But then as you start getting into the techniques of meditation and you are virtuous in your practice, meaning that you sustain a practice with totality, you do not betray it by taking side paths and watering it down with theories and beliefs and philosophies and religions that water it down. No awakened person has any sense of belief. That's how they understand the mystery. So if you have a lot of opinions and beliefs, and most people do, and that's all you can think about is opinion and belief, then you're going to find the way very strange, very difficult, almost impossible. It isn't until you and I practice meditation that we come to that sacred point where we can live in the profound while we're living in the profane. The profane meaning my body. If you take your cues only from your body, you will miss the profound. And that's what most of us do. We miss. So in that missing, in that whole thing, it wipes us out. It ruins us. So don't try to comprehend the mystery of this existence. This life has laws. This world has laws and principles that are a mystery to most people. They don't even think it's possible or true. They just don't. So, be that the case, so what? If you learn to have a perception beyond your desire, your ambition, your pride, you will find the way. And it will be very, very powerful. It will bring about very powerful means in your life and bring the execution of a spiritual practice to the forefront, and great love will pour out of you. And that's all that really matters, Jason. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one is from Tom. Are we here to know everything that life is about? I have read all sorts of books on this, including the ones you recommended, Sapien, Homo Deus, which I really do recommend that you read. But I still don't understand any of it. What is life about? Tom, and he doesn't tell me where he lives. Tom, reading Sapiens and Homo Deus is a very important thing. I think every high school student should have to read those books before they leave high school. And they start in their freshman year, end in their senior year, and they've read those two books. Of course, the religious people would go crazy and nuts. But be that as it may, I still think they should read it. It would set the world straight. Our young people would be a good course correction for the world. But that isn't going to happen. And the value of the two books is to show you what a bunch of crap we have made up about this lifetime. Are we here to know everything about this life? Yes, you are. Are we here to know everything about this world? Well, we can't. If you know anything about life, you'll know everything about the world. And if you work upon yourself with any sense of diligence in your practice, in an authentic spiritual practice, and not the ones that make you think you're important or better than or whatever, if you work and you are humble, and see, this is where people go wrong. They want to be enthralled by their practice, and they want to be exalted by their practice or their philosophy, whatever they're believing in. And that is not the way. When you read those two books, or when you are working upon yourself, if you don't feel humbled, and most people, you know, don't, because they consider the idea of humility as weakness. If you don't feel humble, even though Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," not the haughty, not the arrogant, not the narcissist. If you don't feel humbled, then you miss. If you know yourself, as Socrates said, if you really know yourself, you will awaken. You will love what it is that you recognize. Go look at my series on what I talked about this whole thing. It is about a life worth living, and it's about Socrates' teachings and some of the things that were most important, not only about him, but other great masters that came into this world to teach us the way, to help us understand the nature of ourselves. Go take a look at it. And if you become a sponsor, oh my, you get all the discourses for all of that for free, obviously, and you can download them and listen to them and awaken and start your process. If you don't have the information, if you don't understand what you're doing, you can't do it alone. People try to do it without a teacher, and it can't be done because it's cheaper that way or whatever. It can't be done. You have to have a teacher. And every great master will tell you this. You have to have a teacher. And you have to be involved. You have to understand the nature of it all. And that teacher has to understand the mysteries of this life. And not in a cognitive way, but in a way that brings about clarity of consciousness, not mind. So, if you and I are at odds with our thinking, if we're at odds with our mind and our beliefs and our theories and all of the other stuff that we get involved in, then we're going to be a mess when it comes to living our life and trying to understand what it's really all about. It is best not to understand anything. It is best to live in the sacredness of your heart and not in the appeal that the human mind might have about what is right and wrong, good and bad. Once you understand that, and once you are clear on that, then something starts to awaken in you. This awakening is magnificent. This awakening brings about clarity through consciousness. And you're no longer trying to get your human body to fit the mystery of life, because it can't. Your human body, your human mind, it belongs to the earth, belongs to your forefathers. And, you know, whether you and I like to believe it or not, this is true. Until we transcend into consciousness, we're no better than our forefathers. You're living their life through genetic disposition. So your life is all about survival through genetics. This is the way people live. Difficult as it may be, this is the way we live. And it doesn't change because I say it should or would or I have. It doesn't. When your perceptions are profound and moving away from the profane of logic and reasoning that destroy the beauty of the mystery of this life inside of us, that is when something of the other shore has reached you. and you will follow it. You will be a totally different person, humble. So humble that everything teaches you. A fly on the wall could teach you. I've had that happen. You want to hear the little story? I'll give you a quick little story. And it's an old Zen story, come to find out. I found the story years after the experience. I'm sitting there in a room in India, meditating with about four or five other people in our Tibetan group. And all of a sudden, this fly enters the room and buzzing around, okay? And it was only looking for a way out of the room. And I thought to myself as the fly was buzzing around in great fury that he was like me. I'm buzzing around. And I'm buzzing around this lifetime in this world, and I'm going, oh, Greg's everywhere. And all of a sudden, it suddenly dawned on me, if the fly knew the way it got in, it would know how to leave that room and find its freedom again. But because it's so concerned about its survival, and because it can't process how it got in, it's stuck. Now, there's an old Zen story about that, come to find out years later, and I went, holy Toledo, who knew? Who knew? And that's what we're like, the fly in the room. Tom, thank you for your question. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Last question comes from Andrew in New York City. Greg, I've listened to you for years, watched your TV programs, and loved them. Thank you. I appreciate that. Just let me ask you one question. Do you live consciously, Andrew? Andrew, sometimes I do. And sometimes I'm a blooming idiot, you know. And I find this to be true with a lot of people in this world. We come to a certain place where we can live a little more consciously than we normally do. And then we betray it by getting all caught up in emotionality. I have my moments. That's all I can say to you. I have my moments. And when I lose a moment here and there, whenever, I don't beat myself up. I remember where the door is. Or in the fly story, I remember how to get out of the room because I'm conscious enough to understand what Greg is all about. If you understand Andrew and what he's all about, you'll be fine. You will never get caught in the room. But if you don't understand Andrew as a human being, as a sapien that is just going through the motions of living to survive and has no sense of anything other than wanting and desiring, once you understand that, you can transcend that if you are diligent, and you will have different moments. Will they be better? Or blah, 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 blah? I don't know. But they sure will be interesting, and I think it's more important to have interesting moments outside the human thinking process than it is to judge how long you're there or how quantitative it is or how important it might be or blah, blah. In that state of mind, all of those things are foolish. They look foolish because they are foolish, and you don't really get involved in them because they deter us from the idea of awakening. I've had my day. I've had many a day. I don't know. I don't sit there really and measure it much, but I'm sure I'm still fully human, and I have my humanness all over the place. So I don't really tout one way or another about it all. I just find myself here, and I find myself there, and if I trip and fall, I just get up, as one of my students say, dust myself off, and get back on the path. That's it. I'm out of here. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.